John, and thank you, musicians. That was lovely. What a beautiful song. Okay, so for this month, the month of April, today's the last day, we've been focusing on the theme under our values-based spiritual living. We've been focusing on the theme this month of transformation and evolution. So as we discover that power within us, that power that we call the Christ, and what a perfect month to celebrate that power of the Christ with Easter being this month, what we discover is that as we uncover more of that power within us, the power of the Christ, that our fears drop away, our fears fall away, and that love and joy are revealed as the truth of who we are. So it's very fitting and proper that we should end this month with the joy of living, because that is exactly what we discover on this pathway of transformation and evolution. When we recognize that this is the power that's working within us, that's unfolding our lives, that is truly something to celebrate. Would you agree with that? It's a matter of recognition of it and trusting it and not worrying about a thing, as Kevin's beautiful song reminded us, knowing that we are on an evolutionary path of unfolding to our highest and best good. And as we learn to trust that source within us, as we learn to rely on that, we let it unfold, we let it evolve, and things just work out in a better and better way all the time. More joy comes into our life. But somewhere along the line, most of us have been taught that we were meant to struggle. We were meant to suffer. Did any of you get that message growing up? Mm-hmm. I see some hands. I certainly got that message growing up. But we only struggle until we learn the truth of who we really are. And after that, our joy takes over, and it expands and increases in our experience. So that's what we're all about, is moving into more and more joy. And we know that we're getting those new ideas and those new thoughts as we experience and see more joy unfolding in our lives. Now, I'm still working on this concept of living in joy. I had a deeply ingrained pattern of struggle and suffering. And I can always tell that a lesson that I'm giving is really for me, because I struggle through it. I struggle through it and try, and I can't quite get it to gel. And that's what was happening to me this past week. I was working with it, but I was really bombarded with new ideas and new thoughts all the time. And so I was up pretty late last night working on this. When I attended my first Unity Church, now you know I'm a CSL ordained minister, but I started in Unity, which makes it perfect for our Unity CSL combination here. So I was in Unity for the first 10 years. And when I first started out in Unity, I was reading the little books all the time, working on my own. But in the early 70s, about 1971, we moved to San Bernardino, California. And I attended my first in-person Unity community. And my minister was named Reverend Emily Sanford. And at one point, I was talking to Reverend Emily about something that I remember very clearly what it was, but what I said was, that is too good to be true. Mm-hmm. That is too good to be true. Now, what I was talking to her about was the fact that this was 1971, and for you, for some of you younger ones, it would be a history lesson. For some of us, we remember that 71 was right in the middle of the Vietnam War, and Marvin was in the Air Force. So we were in Southern California, sunny, beautiful Southern California, and we were waiting for our next assignment. Well, friends, other Air Force friends and peers were going overseas to Vietnam and Thailand, and we were just kind of waiting and wondering where it was going to be. Our assignment was Puerto Rico. Beautiful, beautiful, sunny Puerto Rico. It was like a heaven-sent gift. And that's when I said to Reverend Emily, this is too good to be true. And she said, no, Glenda, that is good enough to be true. That is good enough to be true. And I felt this little shift in my perception from expecting that things were not going to work out good to expecting that things should be good for us. So that was probably my introduction to this idea that I had the problem. It was in my thinking that I was experiencing it. Now, I no longer believe that you have to struggle and suffer, intellectually at least. I no longer believe that intellectually. I know that it doesn't have to be that way, but I'm still working it out through the experiences in my life. So I still do get into struggle and suffering from time to time. But as I learn more, I'm able to be freed from that. So I know that I am transforming and evolving in my consciousness. And I know that I can learn and grow through joy instead of through pain. You know, we do have a choice. We are going to learn and grow. We can do it the hard way or we can do it the easy way. And most of us, many of us, have tried the hard way for a while until we decide, no more of that. I'm not going to do that. There's an easier way to do this. And that's what discovering the kingdom of heaven within us is all about. It's about remaining connected to our awareness of our source that's keeping us calm and connected through every experience in our lives. That's what we practice. It's like a muscle. It's like strength training. We practice that. We practice seeing that presence and power no matter what is going on. But the first thing we have to do is be open to the possibility that we could live a life of joy. If we have an old paradigm running in our brain that it has to be hard, no pain, no gain, we have to struggle, we have to work harder, then that's what we're going to continue to create in our lives. So I'm going to ask you this morning to just open to the possibility, just the possibility, just a little sliver of light, that you could live your life in joy instead of struggle and suffering. Are you willing to try that? Just open the door a little bit? Because if we say it's too good to be true, that just shuts the door on the possibility, and we get to be right. So if somebody reminds us of it, like my minister did, it opened up a little crack of light that let me begin to explore that, and we kind of have to ruminate and explore something. We were talking about that in Course in Miracles, how we get an idea in, and it has to turn around in our minds in order to give us new thoughts of a related subject. So as we learn to absolutely trust that God is our source, that every little thing's going to be all right, as we really learn to trust that, then our fears drop away. Our fears fall away, and underneath we find that pure joy, that joy of living. So we can learn to keep our mind open to that possibility in spite of the circumstances that we might be living in. If we don't believe it's possible, then we get to be right. It's not possible for us. That's just the way the law works. It's impartial. It's impersonal. Whatever we believe is what we're going to be experiencing in our life. So if we're waiting until everything in our life lines up exactly in order to be happy, if we're waiting for all those people out there to behave the way we want them to before we can be happy, we're going to be waiting a real long time, a real long time, because there are always those people out there that don't see things the way we see things, and they might turn out to be our relatives. They might turn out to be fellow employees or our employers or maybe our government leaders or other people that we see in our world. And if we're waiting for that to happen before we can be joyful, we're going to be delaying our joy for a long, 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 long time. And it's simply not necessary. It's simply not necessary. Now, we can make changes in some of those relationships, and indeed we should if that's possible. But it's not always possible, and we don't have to wait until those changes happen before we can be free, before we can be happy. We don't have to let anyone steal our joy. And we don't have to give it away either. Our joy is ours. It's ours by our divine birthright. We can claim that. We can be there. Sometimes I notice for me that if I am afraid somebody's about to steal my joy, I get defensive. Do you ever do that? I get defensive, and I want to ward off that, and I want to fight against that. But if I could relax, you know, in the Course in Miracles it says, in my defenselessness, my safety lies. If I could remember that, and I'm working on it, remembering that I don't have to defend myself against anything, that nothing can steal my joy. I could give it away, but I don't choose to. So practice looking at yourself when you're afraid that someone else is trying to take your joy, and see what your reactions are, see how you react, and you might be able to be free of that reaction. Once we believe that joy is possible in every situation, then we can bring it in. So the first thing we have to do is believe it's possible. The second thing we have to do is set the intention. Intend to bring in that joy. We have to be active. This is an active process. We have to intend to bring in joy. It says in the Bible, choose this day whom you will serve, God or your good, or mammon or your human sense of yourself. So we get to choose. Do I choose to identify with the human circumstances that are blaring in my face, or do I choose to believe in my good? Because where we put our focus is what is going to grow and expand. Marvin and I were eating lunch out yesterday, and I was mulling over these thoughts. I'm kind of in a altered state usually for a couple days as I'm preparing these talks, because I have to listen. I have to keep listening and listening and listening, so I'm not a lot of fun, I have to admit, because I'm sort of distracted. And so I was listening for my guidance about this, and we went to a restaurant for lunch, and as we were going through the line to pay the cashier, she said something about, well, have a good day, and then she said, well, you know, we get to choose the kind of day we're going to have. I thought, there you go, that's it. So it was this message that came to me. I thought, that's right, we do get to choose. So we had a little conversation about that for a minute. Thought, yes, it's coming. Even out to lunch, it still comes. And so then we sat down, and then when I went through the buffet line, there was all this ruckus going on in the back in the kitchen. All these people laughing, joking, carrying on. And the employee who was up at the front said, I apologize for those people in the back in the kitchen. And I thought, no, don't apologize. I want happy people preparing my food. Don't you want happy people preparing your food? I want them to put that good energy, that good vibe into my food. So I was happy to hear them having a good time. So it was coming to me that we can choose. We can choose what we see and what we experience. So let's ask ourselves, what are we choosing for our lives this day? What are we choosing this day? Are we choosing to look for joy and celebrate it? Are we choosing to look for the good that's happening all around us? Or do we wake up kind of in a duck and cover position? Oh, I wonder what today is going to bring. I wonder if I'm going to make it through today. We get to choose. If we wake up with an expectant attitude that this is the day that the Lord has made, or whatever you like to say, this is the day that I'm going to experience great good. I can hardly wait to see who I'm going to meet today. What's going to happen today? Erica finds puppies sometimes along her route, and they cheer up her day. So we all have these blessings. It might be a bird singing. It might be a frog croaking. As I was preparing this last night, my frogs on my pond were croaking, croak, croak, croak. I'm thinking, yeah, they're out there having a good time. That's good. So whatever it is, maybe it's a color. Any time that we're going through our life experience and we feel our energy go blump, you know how it'll do sometimes, you'll be going along and all of a sudden it dips. If you just look around and say, where can I find joy right now? What in this moment will bring me joy? Maybe it's a pretty color, a color that you like, or a sound that you like, or just something that lifts your spirits. The grass is green, the grass is growing, the trees are beautiful. Something that will remind you of your joy. It'll turn that thinking around so you don't keep spiraling down into that place of looking and finding more and more things that you don't like, because we get to have more of whatever we're focusing on. Ernest Holmes said this. He said, don't limit this thing. Grow big inside. Get over the little thoughts, the little concepts, and comprehend more. Isn't that nice? Get over the little things and comprehend more. In other words, we have to expand our ability to receive our good. That's a pretty good thing to do, isn't it? Expanding our ability to receive joy. Expanding our ability to receive pleasure, to receive good. Expansion, that's what it's all about. So the idea of living a life of joy is not something that was taught to most of us. I was raised in a traditional Christian church that didn't teach me about joy. It taught me about sin and suffering. It taught me, even as a little girl who didn't know enough to get in big trouble, but it taught me that I was a sinner and that Jesus had died for those sins. And I felt pretty guilty. I felt pretty bad that that had to happen to him, you know. So I thought, who am I to be happy and joyful with all that suffering going on in the world? So I had to do a lot of work to turn that around, to see that life is for living, life is for joy, life is for good. So there have been many teachers along the way that have helped me in this awareness, all the way from the cashier at the restaurant to back to Emily Sanford 45 plus years ago in San Bernardino, California. And I think that that's one of the benefits of spiritual community, of being together in spiritual community. We get to remind each other. We get to remember for each other the truth of who we are, if we're open to receive that. And then we get to change our thinking as a result of it. Now, if we're closed off and don't want any input, then of course it doesn't do us any good. But if we're open to receive, there's always suggestions and ways and remembrances that we can tune our thinking to a higher octave, to a higher level, to experience higher good in our lives. Because I believe that we all want to experience the joy of living. Am I correct in that? Does everyone here want to experience the joy in living? I think we would all agree that that's what we're here for. That's what we're here on this planet for. That's what we're here in this church for. We're here to find more ways to be joyful, more ways to be happy, more ways to feel that oneness and that connection with life. When we're in the midst of negativity, we might call out to God, please fix this for me. Have you ever done that? Please fix this for me. Well, who is this God that we're talking to? Who is this God that we're asking this of? In our faith tradition, in this New Thought tradition, God is divine energy. God is divine energy that's everywhere present. It's within us, it's all around us, it's everywhere we are. It is consciousness. That's what we call consciousness. It is that perception of thought that goes everywhere we go. And we can learn to see God in everything, in every situation. Dr. Holmes says, have this as your principle. There's one infinite mind from which everything comes. There's one infinite mind from which everything comes. Some people have complained and said, but this makes God so impersonal, so impersonal. Well, it is impersonal in that sense. Just like electricity is impersonal, it doesn't care who flips that switch. It's going to work for all of us as long as the conditions are right. Well, it's the same thing with divine energy. It works for all of us. I'm kind of glad it's impersonal. I wouldn't like it if it liked me some days and didn't like me other days, or if it liked you better than me and it was going to do more for you than it would for me. I wouldn't like that. So it's impersonal. But the way we personalize it is how we individuate it, where we focus our attention, where we speak our word, where we create our desire to head in a certain direction. That's what makes it personal. So yes, it's impersonal law, but it's personal love. We get to personalize it. So it's both love and law. It's both. So what if we were to take the challenges that we're facing, whatever they are, and look at them another way, a different way? What if we actually attracted those challenges to help strengthen us, to help make our belief stronger, to prove the principles that we say we believe in? Just to say we believe something and not prove it is not very workable, is it? It's just a lot of talk, a lot of rhetoric. That doesn't do us any good. But if we strengthen our belief, we practice these principles so that they are there and we're living from them, then we have a living, breathing philosophy that actually does some good for us. Dr. Holmes writes, when we make a demonstration, we must make up our mind that we will accept everything that comes with it. This is important. Law pays in full and sometimes with a universal plus. So when we put it out there that we want a change, change is going to come. Are you willing to deal with the aspects of that? For example, perhaps you're treating for a very soul-satisfying job. You want a position that will pay you well and that will really use your creative talents and that will be very satisfying to you. And you believe that you can have it, and then you get fired from your other job. Interesting. We have to let go of the lesser in order to be able to believe and incorporate the higher. So we have to be willing to trust and let go and know that everything's going to be all right. every little thing is going to be all right. We have to let go of what has completed its cycle in our life. Maybe that job was something, or that relationship was something that was just perfect at the moment, at the time. But as your life transformed, as it evolved, it was time for that to fall away so the greater good could come in your experience. Are you willing to trust that? Are you willing to allow that to be so? Are you willing to believe that this is good enough to be true? This is good enough to be true. Watch your thinking about that, and you'll see how you're directing that life energy. We don't have to struggle to make things happen. That's an old belief, that we have to struggle to make things happen. What we have to do is be clear on what we want. We want to live a life of joy. So we look for joy, we intend joy, and then we see it, we allow it to happen. We can trust the law. We can trust the law in our lives to work out our good. I received a story from a ministerial colleague of mine, and she said that she had a friend of hers who wanted to be in a relationship. And so she told her friend, she said, well, you're not going to find anybody sitting here in your house. She said, come on, let's go out and let's find some people. Let's meet some people. But her friend was really clear. She said, no, if this stuff works, if this stuff really works, I can know what I want. I can intend what I want, and it will come to me. So she chose to do it that way. Well, lo and behold, her toilet broke. And she called around to plumbers in the area to find somebody who could fix her toilet. And nobody was available to come out, except finally she got somebody who could come out, who had the time to fix it. Well, she met this very nice man. He fixed the problem. They had a beer together, and next thing you know, they're dating. So she believed that she could have what she needed without going out onto a circuit and looking for it. She knew that she could have what she wanted by just knowing that experience. So to recognize the joy of living, we have to become clear about what God is for us. What is our good? What do we want for our good? We have to recognize that every experience in our life is working for our highest good. And then we have to trust the law. Trust the law that everything's going to be all right. Okay, so our affirmation for today is, I no longer limit divine law in any way. I trust and know that everything I declare comes to me with great benefits added. I experience the joy of living. Let's say that together. I no longer limit divine law in any way. I trust and know that everything I declare comes to me with great benefits added. I experience the joy of living. And so it is. Okay, so I wish you the joy of living. Thank you.